You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
It was just a phone call at this point. It signals the fact that he accepted a congratulatory call. I know that China has a perspective on it. I know the White House and State Department probably have a perspective on it. And certainly Taiwan has a perspective on it. But the president-elect's perspective is that he accepted a congratulatory call. And when he's sworn in as president and commander-in-chief in a little over a month, he will make clear what the fullness of his plans are.
Well, that was Kellyanne Conway trying to explain this phone call that took place between the president-elect and the president of Taiwan, and it set off, dare I say, tremors. You know, in the world of State Department diplomacy, there was apparently a shudder felt around the world, like something went wrong in the force. Joining us now on the line to help us understand why there was such a reaction is Michael Auslan, who is a resident scholar and director of Japan Studies at American Enterprise Institute and the author of the upcoming book, The End of the Asian Century. Good morning to you, Michael. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. How are you?
Well, I mean, why was there such a reaction to all of this? It was a phone call to say, hey, congratulations. And boy, you would have thought it was, you know, it was the end of the earth the way people are talking.
Well, in terms of Asia policy, it sort of was the end of the world. This is the first phone call between an American leader or leader-to-be since 1979 when we broke relations with Taiwan. And in those 40-plus years, there has been a tortured process between Taiwan, the United States, and China of never fully recognizing Taiwan's sovereignty or independence and yet acting as if it were such. So Trump blew it all up, completely broke all the rules, and has really put U.S. policy towards China and Taiwan, at least potentially, on a completely new footing.
But am I correct in my assessment of this, that we sell a lot of weapons to Taiwan?
We do. We sell them over $1 billion worth of weapons. There was an agreement, an understanding between us and the Taiwanese during Ronald Reagan's time that we would ensure that they would have the military ability to defend themselves from China.
And now, in fact, don't we have a defense agreement with Taiwan?
Well, it's not a defense agreement as such, but there's something in Congress called the Taiwan Relations Act, which ensures that the United States will help Taiwan, help it defend itself, and come to its aid.
But yet a phone call.
Yeah, right. So the phone call is the crazy part, because the phone call gives it a legitimacy that none of the sides have ever yet claimed. And even in his tweet, Trump referred to the president of Taiwan. That actually has never, that formulation's never been used up until now. So this really, for the diplomats, was a seismic shock on the order of Krakatoa exploding.
And so, well, let's set aside the policy for a moment, and whether it's a good policy, a bad policy, and whether the president-elect should be dabbling in this without, you know, going through all of the diplomatic brouhaha that often accompanies these things. Let's talk about what's truth. A lot of times truth has nothing to do with diplomacy. Is Taiwan a sovereign nation?
Well, it is not recognized as such legally, but by any other definition, it is an independent nation.
Well, legally by whom?
Well,
who would legally recognize these things?
Yeah, Taiwan itself does not claim that. It doesn't even claim its own sovereignty. It is not recognized as such by the UN and doesn't have a seat in the UN. I mean, it is an ambiguity that the United States agreed to back in the late 1970s in order to prevent a war between China and Taiwan and us.
But they have their own government. Their citizens have their own passports that are separate and different than the People's Republic of China.
They have
their own representatives. They have their own president. In fact, you just used the term president of Taiwan. Aren't you part of the problem?
Yeah, well, I was just repeating our president-elect, so don't drag me into this.
Oh, but wait, but would it be wrong for me to say the president of Taiwan, considering they have a presidential election and they actually elect, I'll use the words, a president?
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah. However, if you're a U.S. diplomat, you're not allowed to use those terms.
You can't be factual.
You have to pretend with this fiction that Taiwan, which is a fully flourishing, and by the way, let's not forget, this is the only Chinese democracy on earth.
Yes.
And a wildly successful one.
Yes.
With an incredible economy, free press.
Capitalist economy with freedom of speech. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, that seems like something that the American people would want to embrace.
I think the American people do embrace it. It is the diplomatic rondelay that we have bought into to prevent what we assumed would be a catastrophic failure of relations with China if we actually pretended that Taiwan is what it is. That's what Trump is now challenging. Now,
maybe it's time to challenge it. What do you think?
Oh, I think a lot of people believe so. I think, look, Taiwan has been a supporter of rule of law. It has been a country that's helped with humanitarian issues. It's long overdue for us to reassess how we deal with Taiwan. Now, do you do it with a phone call that no one's really prepared for in a tweet? Is it a longer process? I don't think anyone who supports Taiwan thinks that this should not have been done. I think the question is, should it be done at this point with someone who's not yet in office, when everyone knows that the Chinese are, by the way, they may have been muted now, but they will do something in response, and people better be preparing for that too.
What kind of thing might they do?
Well, there's a lot of things that they could identify as our interests to try and tweak. So, for example, build a lot more in the South China Sea and welcome a new President Trump with Chinese fighters on all these new islands that they've built. They could very easily decide that if we're going to recognize Taiwan, they're going to place another 1,000 missiles facing the island so that it really survives only according to their sufferance. They could try to peel away all the rest of Taiwan's diplomatic partners so that it really has no one in the world it can turn to. I think we should be prepared for something where China pushes back fairly hard to say that, if you really want to go down this road, fine, we will do things that will make you just as uncomfortable. I doubt that what Trump has done is captured the initiative for the next 4 years.
I saw some pundit over the weekend on CNN or NBC or ABC or MSN. The networks all washed together at this point. And by the way, all the pundits have washed together. I couldn't tell you this person's name. They're all sort of the same gender and same race at this point. They parrot the same thing. But they had the audacity to say that this was akin to Barack Obama unilaterally recognizing the Palestinian state as its own sovereign nation. Is it at that level in your mind?
No, I mean, that's just crazy talk, I think.
Thank you.
First of all, Taiwan is of course a flourishing democracy and a supporter of international law. It is not a supporter of terrorism. It has been kept in this diplomatic limbo. And it is done so only and solely because of the United States' fear that the relationship with China was more important than supporting this democracy. China has made very, very, very clear that it will not allow Taiwan to break away, that it is prepared to go to war. So we shouldn't dismiss the fact that this was a risky move and that going forward it's risky. It will depend on what the Chinese do, but no one should pretend that there aren't real issues connected with it.
All right.
That said, we've had this fiction for 45 plus years now, and we really have to think about how we want to go forward with not only a country that, as we've talked about, is a democracy, but also with a China that continues to challenge international norms and cause problems. So there's three sides to this equation.
All right, well, we have to leave it there. Michael Auslan, thank you so much. A very interesting conversation. I appreciate your expertise.
Anytime.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.